You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I'm your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by Mark Buchanan, who is the author of a great book called The Rest of God, Restoring Your Soul by Restoring Sabbath. I know this is a topic that we often overlook, we don't think about, but it's crucial for the Christian's life, rest, and celebrating the Sabbath through our rest. So I'm excited to have Mark as a part of the many voices for that one message. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Adam, I'm really pleased to be with you.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself and what led you to discover the importance of rest and Sabbath as a topic for this book?
I'd love to. I'm currently a seminary professor up in Canada, Western Canada, but for most of my vocational life, 24 years, I was a pastor. And I simply, for the first 10 years of pastoring, I ignored the Sabbath. I ignored significant rest. And finally, that took a toll. And I came to this place where I was angry. I was burnt out. I was frustrated. I was blaming everyone around me for that condition. I was complaining all the time. And God graciously but firmly led me into discovery of this gift that I had neglected, this gift of Sabbath.
What is it about this? It's such a basic doctrine. It's part of the Ten Commandments, but what is it about it that we often overlook?
Well, it's interesting. It's part of the Ten Commandments, and we can have long debates about the role of law within the New Covenant, but most Christians would say that the Ten Commandments define sort of the broad contours of a life with and in God. So none of us feel that we have freedom to go stealing or committing adultery or using idols. But of all the Ten Commandments, there's only one we feel we have some leniency or optionality, and that's the Sabbath commandment. And yet, you can make a very compelling argument that the Sabbath commandment is some ways foundational to the keeping of, especially the commandments that have to do with community. So it's interesting that if you look at the Sabbath commandment, the fourth commandment, it's in Deuteronomy, it's 133 words in the New International Version, so it's lengthy. Then you come to a commandment like, you know, the prohibition against murder, do not kill. So you get three words versus 133. And almost the implication is if we are well-rested people, then a life of patience, of compassion, of getting and understanding things from the other person's perspective, that automatically is a fruit of just a well-rested soul. And the opposite, that when we get angry, when we want to get our way, et cetera, that's usually coming out of a weary soul.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the theology here of Sabbath. Is it simply a physical thing that we need to do, or does it have the spiritual implications as well?
You know, Adam, it deeply and primarily is a spiritual orientation. So if you look at the primary commandment, the fourth commandment, I think the word that is most salient is unto the Lord, that do a Sabbath unto the Lord. And lots of different scholars kind of understand that differently and have conversations about what exactly it means. But one thing that it clearly points to is that Sabbath is a reorientation or coming back into God at the center of our lives. And often in our busyness and our workaday world, we end up becoming the center of our lives, or something else becomes the center of our lives. And God gets pushed to the periphery, and then all of the fallout, ethically and spiritually and relationally, that happens when God is not at the center of our lives. So really, the Sabbath fundamentally, before it's about just getting rested, getting refreshed, getting more creative, it has all these benefits, but the core of it is actually a restored, coming back into the primary relationship of our life and of our soul, and that is with the Lord God.
Now, the Sabbath was Saturday, and for many of our listeners, the transition of resting on Saturday or Sunday might get a little bit confusing. So can you explain the differences to us and why we, as Christians, worship and rest on Sunday?
Yeah, fundamentally, the shift that happened very early in the church's life was around Sunday became the day of worship for Christians because it was a day of resurrection. And so it was actually quite easy for the church to make that shift, that this is the primary day, this is the day of the new creation, et cetera. There's debate about whether the church, early church, practiced a Sabbatarian or a Jewish Sabbath on the Saturday and then worshiped on Sunday, or whether they shifted the whole thing over to the Sunday. But I think some of the debates get us tied up in things that are unhelpful. And here's why, Adam, is, first of all, the word itself, Sabbath, means to stop. It simply describes not so much a day of the week, but the cessation of normal activity. So just stop that thing you normally do. The second thing is that when you look at particularly the teaching of Paul in Colossians and Romans, he's quite adamant that the observation of certain ritual practices, ceremonial ritual practices, and he specifically names Sabbath days, these no longer have the same sort of power that they once had. We get into the book of Hebrews, which talks about the Sabbath practice, especially in Hebrews 4, but it also, the book of Hebrews indicates that the former practices under the law were good, but they were shadows of the thing to come, all of which is fulfilled in Jesus. And then you take that and you apply it to Jesus' comment in, for instance, Matthew 12, I am Lord of the Sabbath, and Sabbath was not, or man was not made for Sabbath, but Sabbath for the man. In other words, we don't so much go around maintaining Sabbath, but Sabbath is designed to maintain us. All of that put together says that the important thing is the practice of Sabbath, I would argue, over against some sort of strict observation of exactly when it begins and when it ends.
Hmm. And it seems that the term itself is not very common within our kind of Christian regular dialogue. We talk about Sunday worship, but we don't often emphasize Sabbath. Is that because of the distinction between the Old Testament law and moving over to Sunday, or is there another reason?
He couldn't comment very, very well, I think, on the where that historical shift came. But I think the consequence of that historical shift, that we in the evangelical Protestant church rarely use the word Sabbath, I think that the unfortunate consequence is that therefore we regularly or rarely practice it. And so our churches have become very busy places. Our churches have a kind of restlessness about them. And the one thing that we should hope for in our churches, I mean, many things we should hope for, but one of them is that this place of centeredness, where we come and it really does feel like here's a community living out of, as you know, Paul says to the Athenians, Acts 17, in God you live and you move and you have your being. And I think that our churches should just be signs and symbols of that to both Christians and non-Christians, that we walk in and we think, oh my goodness, there's some orientation centering here that I feel alive in it, I feel rested in it, I feel fresh possibility in it. And I, now that I'm not a pastor and I'm a professor and I often am invited to churches to speak on Sundays, I'm a bit stunned at how busy they all are and the kind of the busyness is actually, I think, corroding deep community and the sense of, what I just described, the sense of, oh my goodness, there's a beautiful joy and energy here.
Mm. What are the things that are causing people to diminish or to lose the Sabbath as a part of their Christian walk and their worship? What is it that is pulling people away from rest?
Yeah, I think there's many things, Adam. One of them, ironically, is all our work-saving devices and time-saving devices. All of our tablets and our phones and whatnot, they're so tethering us to the a world beyond us. So we can't really be present anymore in the moment and with people. And so it's, as we well know, it's having a quite a significant impact on our ability to actually have relationship. The fact that we have relationships electronically all over the place means that sometimes the relationship with the person right in front of us is diminished. And I think that that's playing havoc with our ability to actually just be still. I think that we're in a culture that has basically almost won out by its defining of what our real life is about. So I think this is always what empires try to do. Pharaoh's empire basically tried to define the people of God as slaves. I think our empire is trying to define us as consumers, and consumers and all that implies. So we have to sort of work toward a consumption. And I think that that definition that is at play at a very deep level, psychologically and emotionally and spiritually for people, I think that that really is playing havoc with all of our best laid intents of actually doing Sabbath.
And what's lost for us, I mean, if we're not making this both a spiritual and a physical priority in our lives, what are we ultimately losing out on?
Well, there's many things, and I mean, increasing research is showing just the cost of tired people in terms of relationship, in terms of work productivity and all of that. So those are quantifiable things that we can say that there's more accidents, there's a diminished productivity, there's diminished joy in the workplace, there's more competitiveness, argumentativeness, etc. These are actual quantifiable data. But I think at the soft tissue is that if Sabbath is fundamentally about coming back to this place of saying, I am a child of God, I'm a beloved child of God, God is at the center of my life, in Him I live and move and have our being, when that is at risk, and we're not living out of that identity, we're living out of some other identity, the one who has to serve all the time, or the one who has to consume all the time, the hired servant identity, I think that the effect on that is almost incalculable in terms of our evangelism, our worship, our how we hear or deliver sermons. I think it has these implications all through. It just pervades our life in the faith, because we're living out of a very different kind of sense of who we are. And whenever we do that, it's gonna have ramifications in all areas of our life.
Do you think that people ultimately want rest? Because it seems that if you leave people to their own devices, they'll just make themselves more hectic and more chaotic.
I think we don't know what rest is. So I think what we want, I think our default definition of Sabbath is not Sabbath. I think the default is leisure. And so people say, I want more downtime. I want more time to myself. I want more time at the lake. But because we actually have misunderstood that Sabbath is fundamentally about this recentering in God and this stillness or attentiveness that is the practice, the core practice of that, I think that we end up more frantic. And we go to the lake, but we come back exhausted because we've had to go through rush hour to get there, and we've had to do all this stuff with the boat, and everybody has to get in the boat because, you know, we bought the boat, and the boat has, et cetera, et cetera. So there's this kind of rushing and frenetic energy around our leisure, and then the other thing is sometimes we've been going so hard that when we finally stop, we just collapse. So there's not this sense of savoring rest; it's a sense of just crashing, and this generally doesn't help us either.
It seems, having been in ministry and encouraged and working with a lot of pastors throughout the years, that rest is something that is so hard to talk about, because everything about a church is about getting volunteers, getting people active, and getting people involved. What do you say about that?
That's a great question, Adam. I pastored for many years, 24 years. My discovery of the gift of Sabbath, Adam, came in the midst of being a pastor. And one of the benefits for myself personally as I practiced Sabbath was my creativity and my productivity went up. Now, I would emphasize we don't do Sabbath just to become more creative or productive. We do Sabbath because it restores us to our true identity, and it puts God back at the center of everything for us. But the fruit of Sabbath is that we actually become more creative and productive. When I saw that for myself, I began to share it with the staff and volunteers at the church, and we began to think of ways that people could actually do Sabbath even take sabbaticals. We would, to a volunteer who felt that they were just getting tired, we would actually help them go into a season of sabbatical. And so what happened overall is actually we found that the volunteerism in our church, the commitment to ministry in our church, the longevity of ministry in our church, all of that increased as people began to actually practice and receive this gift of Sabbath. So though it is counterintuitive to preach to it, I think in the long run, and it will be a transition period, but in the long run, you're going to actually have more people who are joyful in their ministry, overflowing in their ministry, than people who are just weary and cranky and being kind of Martha banging the pots in the kitchen.
Well, you were also talking about being a pastor. It's more than just the pastor encouraging the congregation to take time to rest, but the pastors themselves making rest a priority in their own lives. Now, that seems even harder for pastors to comprehend because it seems that they're always on call, they're always on demand, and they don't have time to restore their own center in Christ. What kind of encouragement do you have for pastors?
Well, I would say that it's interesting, having pastored for all the time I did, a pastor, many expectations coming at those who pastor, but they are actually mostly in control of their own schedule. So very little is coming from externally saying you must do and be here and et cetera. That's internal kind of pressure. And I would just say to pastors, why don't you, not in any kind of exploitative way, but why don't you use wisdom and discernment in managing your schedule in such a way that you build significant rest into it and just try that for a season and see what it does in terms of your overall not just productivity, but actual joy in ministry.
Hmm. As you think about the importance of rest and what we're talking about here, you mentioned that it is not simply about resting our bones and restoring our energy reserves. It's about centering in God. Can you explain and kind of unpack that a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's when I teach on this, there's many things biblical texts that I pull up. One of the primary ones would be Jesus saying, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and laden, heavy laden." That's the end of Matthew 11. It's actually right after that in Matthew 12 that Jesus says, "I'm Lord of the Sabbath." And so there's a sense of at the heart of Sabbath and coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ is this coming to Him, learning from Him, letting Him show us the rhythms of ministry, of life, of what it is to understand and discern what the Father is up to. That would be one of the core texts. The other thing, Adam, is if you look at the Ten Commandments, and you come to the Fourth Commandment, there's two main versions of the Ten Commandments, one in Exodus 20, the other in Deuteronomy 5. And in Exodus 20, it gives us a reason why we should keep the Sabbath. And that's the text that says, God created for 6 days. On the seventh He rested, therefore you should also rest. But when we come to Deuteronomy 5, the fourth commandment gives us a completely different reason for keeping the Sabbath. It says that you used to be slaves in Egypt. God got you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, an interesting image. And therefore, because you used to be slaves and God rescued you, you should practice the Sabbath. So Exodus says that we should practice the Sabbath because it ties us back to creation. Deuteronomy says we should practice the Sabbath because it ties us back to redemption. And I think built into those two reasons for keeping Sabbath, in some ways, is the very heart of what Sabbath is about. It draws us back into the primary stories of our relationship with God. men and women created in the image of God to do the work of God in this world, but also to rest as God rested. And men and women who, when we got into slavery, into bondage, into a situation that we ourselves could not alter, change, or get ourselves out of, God came in and rescued us with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And so the two big stories of your my life, Adam, and every listener, is a story of God's being made in the image of God, called into the creation of God to be co-workers with God, but also co-resters with God, and the redeemed of the Lord. This is our big story. So I think at the heart of Sabbath is coming back into that at the center. This is my identity. I am this one who is loved by God, called by God. And when I get rest, when I get tired and weary, He wants to come in again and lift that off of me and restore my true identity and my true place in this relationship.
As we're thinking about rest, and our listeners are likely driving into work, it's probably not very restful. Wherever they're going or whatever they're doing, they're not thinking and contemplating this important doctrine. What would you like to say to them, and what would you like to encourage them to think about as they approach their week and make their plans and build out all of the structure of what they have to accomplish? How would you like to prioritize rest?
Yeah, well, two things I would say. As the listeners are driving to work or at work or whatever their situation is at the moment, that they would actually practice and cultivate a Sabbath heart here and now, which is an attentiveness to God here and now. So as you're driving, maybe you're stuck in traffic, you're waiting at a light, and it's been three lights, and you haven't gotten through, and you're getting frustrated. But God is actually with you and for you and speaking to you. And to be attentive to that will reorient the very moment you're in the midst of. I think that's partly what the Apostle Paul says when he says that times are evil, but redeem the time. That there's a sense of you can make it, you can use the time for different purposes than what maybe others are using it for. But in terms of prioritizing rest, one of the best images for Sabbath comes from a book by Peter Scazzaro called The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And Scazzaro describes Sabbath as snow day. What he means is, you know, that day where you wake up and there's 3 foot of snow that fell overnight and everything's shut down and all the normal practices, the schools aren't in operation, you can't get to work. And so there's a sense where the day just became yours. It just became this opportunity to do something other than what was planned. And he, Scazzaro describes Sabbath as 52 snow days a year. And I've really liked that image because it's so concrete and it's so, you know, creates that sense of anticipation and joy and suddenly time opening up. And I would just say to listeners, what if you looked ahead and you found a day 3 or 4 days out and you just treated it as snow day? You just, this day that you're going to wake up to and it's going to be yours to come back into the center or to recenter your life in God.
We've been talking with Mark Buchanan. He's the author of The Rest of God, Restoring Your Soul by Restoring Sabbath, and an important lesson for us all today as we think about how we are approaching every aspect of our life, including our rest, as an opportunity to recenter on the gospel and our God as our creator and our redeemer. Mark, thank you so much for being a part of the Many Voices for that one message.
I'm so pleased to be with you today, Adam.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.